6:16 now. I'm Dave Williams with Amy Shadroff on KLIF 570. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. North Texas Congressman Mike Burgess, of course, is a physician, and he's worried about the health care in Puerto Rico, and he just returned from a trip in into Puerto Rico and very graciously talking with us now about what he saw, learned, and how was able to help. Good morning, Congressman.
Well, good morning, Dave. So good to be with you this morning.
Always nice to talk with you. Tell us about your trip.
Well, first off, almost every time there has been a major disaster like this, I have tried to visit with the hospitals shortly thereafter because it's been my observation that as the hospital is recovering, it reflects how the community is recovering. So I went to Charity Hospital after Katrina. I went to John Seeley Hospital after Hurricane Ike, Bellevue after Hurricane Sandy. And it was logical to go to some of the hospitals in San Juan, and they were kind enough to take me for a day. I'll tell you that the situation they're in down there is obviously pretty tough. One of the people I talked to said it was the most wickedly complex disaster that they had ever seen. The infrastructure was not great beforehand, and then this storm, which went across the island from one end to the other, really did an enormous amount of damage. In fact, they had a glancing blow from Irma before Maria came ashore. But, obviously with a significant amount of help, they are beginning to stand things back up, so that is good. In the meantime, of course, I haven't forgotten what's going on here at home and in Texas, the concern. We're going to be doing a big disaster bill today that will have money in it for Puerto Rico, to be sure. There is also significant money in it for Texas, which is appropriate. The federal flood insurance is about to run out of dollars, and pending claims from Texans, which are before the claims on the federal flood insurance, there's going to need to be money pumped into that to make those solvent, to make those claims be able to be paid. So that is one of the things that is going to happen today. And in the meantime, you've got California or half of California on fire, and there's going to need to be some assistance there. And, oh, yeah, don't forget Florida got hurt pretty bad by Irma. So it's been, obviously, the past 35, 40 days have been significant as far as just the damage to our country. But we'll do it. We'll get it done. We'll get it rebuilt.
What do you make of Texas Governor Greg Abbott's comments that members of Congress need to get stiff spines with this hurricane relief bill because he's not really happy with it?
Yeah, I didn't talk to the governor. This bill today, there is significant help for Texas. $11 billion to pay pending claims in federal flood insurance. $4.5 to $5 billion for Texas in the disaster relief fund. That's not for Puerto Rico. That is for Texas. And then there is another $5 billion fund, which any of the areas, California, Texas, Florida, Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, can apply to borrow money for so that their municipal governments or their local governments who have lost the ability to raise money or spend money so that they will be able to continue to function. So, and this bill today is not the end of the story, and I hope the governor does know that. For people who are concerned about spending, there is going to be significantly more funding that happens probably late November, early December. At this point, I don't even know if, even in Texas, where Harvey was the first of these incidents, I don't know if the total price tag is known. I don't know if there has been an actual dollar figure delivered to the White House or the Office of Management of the Budget to say these are the dollars that are going to be required. So it is an ongoing process. There is money today in the bill that will be on the floor of the House that will significantly help Texans who were hurt in this storm, and I hope the governor sees that. But in the meantime, we've just got to do our work, and it's going to get done.
Kind of switching gears a little bit here. Now, President Trump is expected to sign an executive order today aimed at getting rid of Obamacare. What do you know about that, and what kind of effect do you think it will have on the future legislation?
Well, the work they are doing at the White House will expand the ability for what are so-called association health plans The House has passed legislation allowing association health plans literally every year since I've been here, except for those years the Democrats were in charge. Association health plans allow businesses to sort of group together and get the purchasing power of a larger group. Think realtors or chambers of commerce across the country who can then create a purchasing group to be able to purchase insurance and in more like a group purchasing arrangement or more like the large group market rather than the individual market. So I think it's a reasonable step. It's something I've always supported legislatively. I would rather see us do things from the legislative perspective than from the executive perspective, but I understand why the president is doing this because he is up against some hard deadlines with the open enrollment period that's coming up, and people need to know where can they get their insurance, how much it's going to cost, and what is it going to be like for me. The other thing he's done is expanding the number of days that a so-called temporary policy right now, I think it's under Obamacare, it's restricted to 90 days, and they're likely to expand that to almost a full year in coverage that you can buy in a so-called temporary plan. The advantage there is that it does not have to have all of the more expensive Obamacare mandates incorporated.
We're talking with North Texas Congressman Mike Burgess. You're on a subcommittee that's making moves to combat the opioid crisis, and you've held meetings on this in your district. What needs to be done to combat the problem?
Well, it's a problem that's coming from multiple directions, and it is going to require several different things to be done. A big bill was passed in December and signed into law, which made some dollars available in the form of grants for communities that have been hard hit by this. We did I did yesterday in the subcommittee. I held what was called a members' day, and allowed any member of Congress, starting with those on the committee, but any member of Congress to come in and give us their story, their ideas on how the opiate crisis is affecting their state and their community. And I don't know what our total number, but we were in there for several hours yesterday hearing this testimony from other members of Congress around the country. And obviously there are some areas that have been hurt very, very badly. Perhaps we haven't been hurt quite as badly in Texas, but still, when you look as a country, I think the number is 60,000 deaths from an opioid overdose last year, which is far in excess of the number of people we lost in automobile accidents, and everyone thinks we lose too many people there. So it's education, to be sure, help in the communities with treatment centers, to be sure. You know, one of the ironic things is one of my very first hearings in the Energy and Commerce Committee back in 2005 was on the hearing on the fact that doctors don't treat pain adequately, that people don't get adequate pain relief from their physician encounters. And now we've come full circle 10, 12 years later, and we're having a hearing on how pain is being overtreated. It is going to require some different perspectives or some different approaches to pain treatment, and certainly my tendency is to leave that up to physicians and not to legislators. But as far as from the National Institute of Health, could we perhaps have some other tools? I mean, opiates have been around since the 1800s. Maybe it's time for something a little more cutting edge than that. And, and those are the various perspectives we heard yesterday.
Yeah. All right, Congressman, thank you. Always great talking with you. We appreciate your time this morning.
Anytime. Glad to do it, Dave and Amy. Thank you. You're the best.
Thank you. There's North Texas Congressman Michael Burgess.